One is from the book of St. John, chapter 1 and verse 17. Let us hear it. The other one is from Titus, chapter 2, 11 and 12. Let us hear the one from John 1, 17 first.
For the law was given by Moses.
The inspired writer is sort of setting the record straight. The law was given by Moses. And if you didn't know that, then the Almighty God is informing you today through his inspired word. The law is all about that Ten Commandments system that was given to the Israelite by God through Moses. Wait. Something else you should know. That law, the Ten Commandments system and all the animal sacrifice, it was meant by God only for the children of Israel.
That's right, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Wait, there's something else. It was never meant to last indefinitely. Mm-hmm. It was meant when the Almighty God gave it for that system to keep alive a certain sense of right and wrong on earth up until the time of the gospel. It was never meant to be an indefinite thing. What it says again, read, remind us again, brother.
For the law was given
by Moses. The law was given by Moses.
But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Everybody get that? You need to be mindful of that. Now remember, I said there are two passages I want to introduce. The lesson to the brother has just read the first one. It's not only about the law, it's all about grace and truth. Watch here. But Brother Mitchell, it says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Christ. Does it mean that in the time of Moses and the Israelite, there was no grace and truth? Yes and no. Okay. What it meant is that before Jesus Christ, grace and truth was limited. That's right. It does not mean there was no grace in the time of Moses and in the time of the Israelite. Yes, the Almighty God has always been a gracious God. But watch here. The avenue, the channel, the person through whom God's grace would be demonstrated was not yet here. That is Jesus Christ. But there were some form of God's graciousness under the Old Testament system. It's just that it was limited. You want me further explain its limitation? During the almost 1400 years of the Israelite history, no sin for anyone, anywhere, at any time was ever truly forgiven. I need to repeat that. Grace and truth came by Christ. Meaning in the time of Moses. You see, there is a contrast. In fact, this lesson will be contrasting the law and grace. So when the Bible talk about the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Christ, it is in effect telling you that before Jesus Christ came, the truth that men and women knew was limited. only a little tip. Country people say a little tip of it. And it is for this reason that forgiveness was not effected, was not there. Brother Mitchell, you mean the entire history of the Israelite? Yes, their entire history. In fact, let me go beyond 1400 BC. That's the time of the Israelite, about. You want us to go beyond that, the patriarchal age? No sin then was ever forgiven either. Wait, Brother Mitchell, me no understand what you are saying. Well, let you understand. Men like Adam, Noah, Abraham, Lot, Isaac, Jacob, they are patriarch. None of them had true. All the animal sacrifice they offered. Wait. And God promised them forgiveness. What God did was to put their sin on hold until the blood of Jesus Christ came that would really deal with their sin. I usually like to use a promissory note, pray, because I borrow so much. A promissory note is a situation where you borrow, you get a loan for a friend or a lawyer, and they trust you enough to take a promissory note. That's all the collateral you have. The promissory note indicates that you intend to pay your debt. But you don't have any collateral other than your signature. So you give the promissory note 3 months after date, I promise to pay John Brown the sum of $3,000 being a loan I obtain on such and such a day. And the person hold that piece of paper. That piece of paper indicates, with your signature, indicate that you plan to pay. It also indicate that you do not, when you give that promissory note, you do not have any value called collateral. You don't have anything like that. But the person from whom you get the loan, take the promissory note. The animal sacrifice was a type of promissory note. They gave it, and God said, you see, they submitted to God's rule. And God hold that. But ladies and gentlemen, way back here, 2,000 years before Christ, 3,000 years before Christ, 4,000 years before Christ, 5,000 years before Christ, all the sin that was committed there, and these men who made step toward pleasing God, nothing they did, nothing in their power could address the problem of sin. All that sin was never forgiven until Jesus Christ came and died at Calvary. In fact, let me delve a little more in that now. Let us run to the passage of Romans. I think it is chapter 3, verse 24, 25. Let me hear it. And I think one is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, I think verse 15, somewhere there. But let us hear Romans. Start it, let me see if that's the passage.
Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Wait, in other words, it is in Christ Jesus. Watch here now. Redemption means you are redeemed. You are brought back. Read on.
Whom God hath set forth to be.
Jesus Christ is the one whom God set forth to be the what?
Propitiation.
The original word, from where the word propitiation, well, thank God we live in time where we have different translation, and there are some authentic translation that makes the word simpler. You know, the things like the Amplified Bible would cut that down, and the word propitiation means mercy seat. It means where God shows mercy. It means that's where you meet God for his mercy, for his grace, whom God has done what?
Set forth to be a
propitiation. Set forth to be?
A propitiation.
A propitiation, that is, be the person or the place or the one where God's mercy or grace is shown. Read on.
Through faith.
Through faith.
In his blood. To declare his righteousness.
Wait, watch here now. Not now. To declare God's righteousness. Wait, Brother Mitchell, explain that. To declare that God is righteous. Wait, Brother Mitchell, you have to do some more explanation. Thanks for telling me. When Jesus Christ came, it was not only to redeem us, to bring forgiveness to us, but to demonstrate that God was righteous. Pick up right, dear brother. To declare is?
To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past.
Wait, you are getting it here? Jesus Christ coming declare God's righteousness, but notice what sin is under consideration. It's the sin that are
past.
That's Old Testament sin. Christ coming explain to the world of principalities, angel, that the way God dealt with past sin, he was still a righteous God. Because those past Old Testament sin, are you following me? Angels and principalities, good angel, bad angel, they knew that sin could not have been addressed by animal blood. Are we all there? Sin could not, cannot be forgiven by animal blood. Sin takes a greater price. So when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, the Almighty God in that death of Jesus the Christ, God was declaring to the universe that he is a righteous God. In what way he did that? To show that God can deal with sin only as it is dealt with in keeping with the holiness of God. Sin cannot be dealt with any bandoli way. That's right. You know, you and I can come up with shortcut, you know, like all the seasons of the year when we go places and all the roads are blocked with traffic. It's good when you know shortcut. But brothers and sisters, God no have any shortcut to deal with sin. And passage like this, to declare his righteousness, you must never stop there. To declare his righteousness in respect to what sin? The sins that are past. And the whole point is that the animal sacrifice did not really, in that the animal sacrifice just put those sin on hold. It was when Jesus Christ died that they were truly forgiven. Listen. I'm not sure if my memory is pinpointing the correct passage. I think it is Hebrews chapter 9. And I think it is somewhere about, let me hear verse 14 or 15, and I'll tell you if it is the right passage.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Read on.
And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of sins that were under the first testament.
That's the passage, brother. Somebody didn't hear that. Which testament?
The first testament.
Pick up again at
for
death.
For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. That by means of death, for the redemption of transgressions.
That is, Christ's death redeemed the promissory note for the transgression or sin
that were under the first testament.
So you see, the passage in Romans chapter 3, 24, 25 is not the only one that is pointing out to us that God's grace did not come around in the liberal and flooding way until Jesus Christ came. The coming of Christ. We are in a season that we celebrate the coming of Christ in Easter. Remember, all that is man-made tradition, you know, Christmas, Easter. The first century church did not celebrate it like that. The first century church celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection. Help me, or somebody. And what day again? The Lord's Day.
First day of the week.
First day of the week.
Yeah.
That's why we should line up before the church building open when that day comes. Every week. Because that is the day that shows Christ's victory and our victory over sin, over death, over grave, over Satan. The first day of the week. That's when the apostles celebrated. The heathen world celebrated now. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, visiting friends, that this time that is celebrated as Christmas, that is the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ. When Jesus Christ came, it was all about the grace of God. Before Christ, God's grace was here, but it was limited. That's why there was no forgiveness under the entire Old Testament system. And the two passages read, Romans chapter 3, verse 24, 25, Hebrews chapter 9,
verse
14, 15, is telling us that it took Jesus Christ to deal with our sin. Did I say when I begin, I'm going to begin with two passages, brother? And I'm still at one. I'm still at one, but we are not wasting time. Huh?
No, no.
Let us go to the other passage, and that is the passage of Titus chapter 3. Chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11, I think. Or 11 and 12. Let us hear it. Titus chapter 2.
For the grace of God.
Stop there a while. May I? Look here. I need to clarify this too. Yes, grace. Grace, the grace of God. Wait. We talk about grace. When the Bible speaks about grace, it is telling us of God's favor. But it is not just telling us about God's favor. It is telling us about God's favor that is unmerited and undeserved. Very important that those two concepts of God's grace. You don't merit it. You didn't work for it. You cannot work for God's grace. That's the idea. When you hear about grace and the grace of God, there is nothing you could do to pay God for sending his son. The word grace, unmerited. Not only you didn't merit, you didn't work for it, it is undeserved. You don't deserve it. Because when God sent Jesus Christ, we were God's enemy. So always remember, it is something God gives that is undeserved and it is unmerited. And when you look at what God did at Calvary in sending Jesus Christ, you can understand. Let us hear Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12.
For the grace of God hath bringeth salvation.
You hear? Here again, this passage is indirectly telling us that when the Bible tells you that the law came by Moses, it is also indirectly telling you that true salvation was not available in the 1500 years of the law. So here the inspired writer in the book of Titus, Paul telling us that the grace of God that does what?
That bringeth salvation.
It is God's grace in Christ that brings true salvation.
Hath appeared to all men.
And it has been appeared to all men. Ladies and gentlemen, may I? I should have looked this up. How many dialects the New Testament has been translated in? May I? Wherever human beings live, the Almighty God worked through these different agencies to make sure that the New Testament, telling in the gospel of God's grace, has reached every dialect that you can find. That's no accident. The grace of God that brings salvation appeared to some men. To all men. That's no accident. God in heaven is at work in that. Read on, brother.
Teaching us that.
Wait, grace teach? Thank God. And we need to keep that in mind because there are some false concepts about grace. May I? When you and I read about the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, all these words, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's kindness, all these words, as you read them in the Bible, they are telling of God's positive response to man's need, all of them. As you read in the Bible about the love of God, they are all about God's goodness, kindness towards man. But then, should I now give you another side about God's wrath? You see, we must be mindful that God, while he is love, his grace, his mercy, his kindness, God is also an holy God. That's the holiness of God that demands that a sinless, holy victim pay the price for sin. The holiness of God. May I finish with the passage, you know, brother? Yes. When Jesus Christ, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the point when Jesus Christ was in the process of becoming sin for us. Mark what I said, I didn't say he commit sin, he became sin. That's right, brother, you know, you have to make that because somebody will run and say, the preacher at the Church of Christ said Christ commit sin for us. No, he became sin for us. When Jesus Christ submit himself to the death of the cross, for my sin, for your sin, he became sin for us. Because death is the result of sin. Christ committed no sin of his own. Then how comes he died? Because of my sin and your sin. The only way it could be paid for was by a righteous, sinless victim in the person of Jesus Christ. The coming of Christ is all about that. Get back to the passage, your brother.
Teaching us that.
Grace teach. Don't forget that. And there are some other things you're going to learn about grace. Grace, the grace of God that brings salvation, appears to all men. Thanks be to God. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, men and women are being informed, being enlightened about the meaning, the implication, and the demand of God's grace. Teaching us,
that denying ungodliness.
You hear that? God's grace is teaching us to repent. Yeah, denying ungodliness.
And worldly
lust. Wait, not take time, that we must give up ungodliness. And worldly
lusts.
Worldly lusts.
We should live soberly.
Wait. All of that are grace a teacher. You think grace just comes up? No, sir. Grace teaches. Grace instructs. Grace guides. Grace enlightens. That we should
live soberly.
Soberly. Live like your head is on your body.
Righteously.
We should live righteously.
And godly.
And godly.
In this present world.
In the world to come.
In this present world.
And now we must live like that. Everybody gets it? In this present world. So grace teaches. Grace just comes and you do what you want. Because you see, that the Almighty God, that the holiness of God demand the life, the death of a sinless victim in the person of Christ. Usually the communion, the emphasis is on the broken body of Christ and the fruit of the vine. Remember, brothers and sisters, the blood of Christ. Always remember what the Bible says, that the life is where? Is in the blood. The emphasis, when the Bible speaks about the shed blood of Christ, it's talking about the life that was given. Sin could be forgiven no other way. That's why so many innocent animals, sheep and cows, were slaughtered, killed under the Old Testament system. They were just types, figure, shadow, pointing to the real thing in Jesus Christ. What is the point? This time of the year we talk about Christmas. The coming of Christ to this world is about the goodness, the love, the kindness, the grace of God that brings salvation, teaching men and women that they should deny ungodliness and live soberly and righteously in this present world. Anything else there?
It's the end of verse.
End of verse 12. Ladies and gentlemen, and you know what this means? The Almighty God in His holiness. From time to time, I remind you all here that the holiness of God, you know, because there are positive benefits from the fact that God is love and He's gracious and He's merciful and He's kind. That is what, you hear a lot about the love of God, and rightly so. We are glad for the love of God. We are glad that God is a merciful God. But I need to remind you, and I made one or a few statements in the lesson since today, that what regulates God's love, what regulates God's mercy, God's grace, is God's holiness. That's right. The holiness of God, that quality of God that separates Him from everything that is wrong, everything that is unholy. That's what regulates God's love. You would tend to think, the way we talk of God's love, you tend to think God's love is what regulates everything. No. It is the holiness of God that determines that God cannot love sin. He cannot tolerate sin because He's holy. It's not the opposite. It's not God's love that regulates His holiness. Because God is holy, God can deal with sin only certain way. The Israelites were concerned that their prayers were not being heard. And it seems if different quarters at that time were giving the explanation why God wasn't listening to their sin, their prayers. The Almighty God stepped in the picture through His prophet Isaiah. Is it chapter 59 and verse 1? Run there, let me see, brother. God stepping the picture just to clear up things.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not short.
That's the passage. The Lord's hand is not shortened.
That it cannot save.
That it cannot save.
Neither his ear heavy. That it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
Everybody hear that? Our sin still does that. Everybody hear that? Today, if you are a man or a woman who have never given yourself to Christ, that is, you made a conscientious decision to believe in Christ as God's Son, to repent of your sin, to confess Christ's name, and to get baptized with a resolve to living right. If you have never done that, you can pray from now until thy kingdom come, and your prayer will not be responded to. That's right. Because remember, the Israelites were God's people. And they were concerned, why is God not responding to their prayer? The Almighty God sent Isaiah to tell them the reason. What is the reason, brother?
But your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
Sin always separates because God is holy.
And your sins have hid his face from you.
And your sin hid his face from you.
That he will not hear.
That he will not hear. That was not so only in the ancient world. It is so today.
That's right.
The only thing, we live under grace, where you have the opportunity now to get your sins forgiven, cleansed. In Christ, God will no more put your sin on hold, on suspension. Why God did that under the Old Testament and patriarchal system is because the remedy for sin, Jesus Christ, had not yet come. Mm-hmm. Are we all there? There are so much many things to share in this lesson. Of course, I have some 7 points in this lesson to share today. Believe me, I almost finished the lesson now, and I have not even touched point one yet. Truly.
I see it.
Truly. Let us, while I'm at it, touch even one point, and then the lesson is yours. When the Bible, this is just point two, and we are going to be closing on this point. When the Bible the New Testament does a lot of contrasting two systems, the law or works. When the New Testament speaks of work, it's speaking about the system of the law. When the Bible speaks of faith or grace, it's speaking about the New Testament. Law/works. When it speaks of law and works, is the Old Testament. Let me put OT, Old Testament. When the Bible speaks of faith or / grace that is speaking of the New Testament or our grace. That's right. Always remember this. Whenever you read the Bible and it speaks about faith or grace or the gospel, it speaks about that which comes through Christ. When it speaks of the law or works, it speaks of the Old Testament. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Read for me.
Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works.
You notice the distinction, because you'll miss this. Even David, under that system, David was under the Old Testament system. And David speaks how blessed it is for the man who God impute righteousness. That is, put righteousness to that man or woman's account. How he does it? Read it again, Romans chapter 4, verse 6.
Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works.
Righteousness without works. Oh, but Mr. Mitchell, so it means under the New Testament system you don't have to do anything. No, that's not what it means. It just simply means that the Old Testament and the New Testament had different demand. The New Testament is faith and obedience under grace. The Old Testament is work. But here is the thing. Very important, and I must deal with this even partially. One of the things about the Old Testament is that it matters not what the Israelite did in respect to trying to please God by the law. They would still fall short. May I? To the extent that every year their sin was brought forward. Are we all there? Every year their sin was brought forward, was never forgiven. They were reminded of their sin every year, sin that they had made sacrifice for. Let us hear a little more. Let us hear Romans chapter. You were at chapter 4 just now. Let us hear chapter 3, verse 19 through 23, I think.
Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law.
Listen this. Whatsoever things the law says, that is referring to the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments system. It is speaking to them who are under the law.
That every...
Wait, brother. There's something here you must not overlook, because that very statement is implying that there are people who are not under the law.
True.
What the brother has just read there is implying that some were not under the law. Whatsoever the law says, it is speaking to those who are under it, implying that all men were not under it, because it was given only to the Israelites. Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath was given only to the Israelites to remind them that God led them from slavery in Egypt. Read on, brother.
That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
May I? Very important. Very important that we get, don't move from it, brother. One of God's goal and objective in the Ten Commandments system, the law system of Moses, was to make the Jews understand that they were guilty, that they sinned, that they have done wrong in God's sight, and that they stood guilty. Read on.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight.
By the deeds, that is doing what the law says, nobody could stand just or holy before God. When you did that which the law demanded, you discovered that you were still guilty before God. What verse is that, brother?
We are 20.
Read on.
For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
That is the main purpose of the Ten Commandment animal sacrifice system, is to make men and women become aware that they were sinners. That was one of the main purpose of the law, to make the Israelite became aware of sin.
But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested.
Everybody hear that? You something just passed your ear. But now, notice that time element, but now. That is, you see, that now have to do with the time of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God, meaning what, Brother Mitchell? God's way of making man righteous is what?
But now the righteousness of God without the law.
Without the law.
Is manifested.
Is made known. God's way of making men and women righteous is now known. But it has nothing to do with the law.
Without the law.
Without the law. That is, you and I can read. Did you know, if you had the Old Testament and live on Mars, and I have the New Testament and live on Jupiter, I could know what to do to become a Christian to please God. But there is no way you on Mars with only the Old Testament could know. The Old Testament alone could not tell you how to benefit from the blood of Jesus Christ today. The New Testament, the gospel, tells me that. What verse is that, brother?
21.
Read on a little further.
Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ.
Here again, by faith. That's right. That's right. It is by faith. But this faith is not just mere believing. Because the same book of Romans talk about the obedience of faith. Read another verse or two, brother.
By faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe.
You see?
For there is...
unto all, upon all them that believe. Faith. But remember, faith always, when faith is genuine, it must be followed by obedience.
Amen.
When faith is genuine, it must be followed by obedience.
For there is no difference.
There is no difference.
For all have sinned.
All have sinned.
And come short of the glory of God.
If you thought you are not a sinner, you have been mistaken. Because the Almighty God, in His sight, all of us have sinned. In fact, I'm sorry that I may have to pick up on the lesson, because as I've said, there are some four or five more points to contrast. And that is, the Almighty God, wanted men and women to become aware of their helplessness spiritual-wise with the Old Testament. That was one of the purposes of the Old Testament, to show men and women the Old Testament was like a doctor who can always help you to diagnose your disease. But then after that, the doctor said, I don't know of any cure. That is the Old Testament. It tells you that you're guilty against God's will, but it did not present the cure. To find the cure, you have to get to the New Testament, to the gospel. We're going to end today. Remember, God's grace is about God's kindness, God's unmerited, undeserved favor. We don't deserve it. We couldn't deserve it. We could not do anything to go to God and says, God, you owe me this. God, in his kindness, sent Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sin that we could not pay. When we think of Christmas, it is about the coming of Christ, and Christ's coming is about God's grace. God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldliness, and that we should live soberly, godly. Not to wait until the other world comes, but in this present world. It means you can make a decision for Jesus Christ this morning. You can accept the grace of God this morning through faith in Christ, repentance from sin, confessing Christ's name, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin. Brother Mitchell, but if it's God's grace, why do I have to be baptized? Because God demands that you be baptized. God demands that you unite, you form a solidarity between you and Christ in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. How do you do that? Through baptism, buried in the water, and come forth from the water like Christ came forth from the tomb. You must unite with Christ in order to benefit from his blood. You can do that today. We are going to ask the brother to come with a song. And we remind you that the Old Testament was to help men and women see their hopelessness and their helplessness. But under grace, that is, since Jesus Christ has come, the Almighty God has sent forth his grace so that you and I can have the assurance that all that it takes to deal with our sin has been provided in Christ, and you can benefit from that right now.